read the holy and inspired word of God tonight from Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Word of God in Proverbs 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, Give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, It is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, It is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear, for a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, He go also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Read the word of God that far. Text for our sermon is the second part of verse 8 and all of verse 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of this chapter were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the man of God, Agur. We don't know anything about Agur. It's very likely that he was a man of God who lived at the time of Solomon, so that what he wrote here under the inspiration of the Spirit is gathered together with the inspired Proverbs of Solomon into the book of Proverbs. But it's not important who the man Agur was. The words that he writes are God's words. Words that he's inspired to write convey in the words of our text what is the need of all of God's people our life here on this earth. In our text, Agur prays a prayer to God. And in that prayer, he makes two petitions. Those two petitions correspond to the two aspects of our being. First, the fact that we're spiritual and have a spiritual aspect to who we are. And then secondly, the fact that we have an earthly and a material aspect to our being. And those two petitions of Agur summarize the main need of the child of God in this life. First, Agur prays, Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die, remove far from me vanity and lies. The great spiritual need of the child of God is to be delivered from the vanity of idols and from lies and falsehood. That petition concerns the spiritual aspect of who we are. And then the second aspect of the petition that Agur makes here is a petition with respect to our earthly and material needs. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That part of the prayer of Agur that is a fitting passage for us to consider tonight on prayer day. For one thing, we're dealing here with the prayer of Agur, and so it's fitting to consider this on prayer day. But more particularly, Agur's prayer addresses his earthly and material needs. And that's the purpose of our gathering on prayer day. Prayer day is not a day for us to consider broadly and generally the subject of prayer, but the purpose of prayer day is that we gather together in prayer to God, to pray to Him to provide for us our earthly and material needs. We gather at the beginning of the planting and the growing season. We look forward into the future in trust and dependence upon God to provide for us our needs. That's the prayer of Agur, which is the prayer of all of God's people. This prayer teaches us what we are to pray for, not only today, but every day of our life here on this earth. And this prayer puts into the proper perspective things of this earthly life. Let's consider the passage tonight, taking as our theme neither poverty nor riches. First, consider the request. Secondly, the concern. And then thirdly, the trust. Neither poverty nor riches, the request, the concern, and the trust. From a positive point of view, the petition that Agur makes to God is found at the end of verse 8. Feed me with food convenient for me. The word for food here is literally the word bread. We're praying here for bread. And bread in the Bible represents all of the basic necessities of life, those basic staples that promote and preserve earthly health and life. Basic food and drink, basic clothing, and basic shelter. We're praying here for bread convenient. The way in which we often use that word convenient today might make us think that we're praying for conveniences, the things that are making our earthly life easier or some kind of luxury of earthly life, but that's not the sense of the Word of God here. The word convenient could be translated this way: the bread that's allotted to me, that which is my portion, what is my allowance, that measure of bread that I need, what is my necessity. Feed me with the bread of my allotment. Feed me with the portion of earthly things that I stand in need of. What this petition is, essentially, is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our text is the Old Testament equivalent of that. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me my daily bread. From a positive point of view, that's our petition to God tonight on Prayer Day. As we look ahead to the coming planting and growing season, our prayer to God is, Father, feed us with food convenient for us. Father, feed us with the bread of our allotment. Give us the necessary portion of earthly things we need for earthly life. That positive petition implies several important spiritual truths. What's implied in that petition is the reality that we are weak, dependent creatures. We were made from the dust, we return to the dust, and this prayer acknowledges our human frailty. We are wholly dependent upon the provision through the creation. We need food and drink or we die. We need shelter and clothing to preserve us from the elements, or exposed to them, we will die. Our life is fragile, frail and weak creatures, and this petition acknowledges that we do not have the power and the ability in ourselves to preserve our own health and our own life. What's more, this petition teaches us that we are dependent upon God to provide for us. Our dependence is not on the creation as such, but with the creation and all of the creatures, we are dependent upon the Creator, who is pleased to provide for us through the things of this earth. This prayer acknowledges that God is the Creator, and that God is the sovereign and the wise provider. Having made all things belong to God. God is the one who provides for the needs of each one of His creatures. All of His creatures are dependent upon His wise, providential distribution of the things of this earthly life. From a positive point of view, taught to pray today and every day of our life in dependence upon God to supply our earthly needs. Father, feed us food convenient for us. Side by side with that positive petition is the negative aspect of that petition. Verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches. The negative aspect of that petition is a striking request that we make. We pray often and regularly, give us this day our daily bread, feed us with the food that we stand in need of. But to consider that same petition from a negative point of view and to pray, Father, give me neither poverty nor riches, emphasizes what a striking request that is. It's not so striking that we might pray, feed us with the food that we need, and Father, don't give us poverty. Poverty, according to the Bible, is not merely a certain level of income that maybe falls below a certain standard that qualifies someone as being poor in the eyes of the world. To be poor does not mean that someone rents a house rather than owns the house, or that they have just a few thousand dollars to their name in the bank, or that when they go on vacation, they're not able to fly away to Florida, but they have to camp. That's not true poverty according to the Word of God. Strictly defined according to the Word of God, poverty means that a person does not have the earthly things that he needs for that day. To be truly poor is to be lacking of those earthly things that one needs that maintain and preserve health and earthly life. To be truly poor is to lack the bread that one needs for that day, so that that person and their children, they go to bed hungry, holding their stomachs, which are aching, because there's nothing to eat. It's to be clothed in mere rags against the elements of earthly life. It's to have the barest of shelters that protects one from the element. It's safe to say that in our society, with the high standard of living that we enjoy presently, very few of us understand the crushing reality of such poverty. The kind of poverty that does not know where one's next meal is coming from. We can understand where a person would pray, Father, give me not poverty. Which one of us would want to live in such difficult circumstances as that? They are up under the crushing weight of such poverty as that kind of poverty. We can understand where in this petition we pray, feed us with the bread of our necessity, and Father, do not give to us poverty. That may be the petition that the child of God prays from time to time. That's not the striking aspect of this petition. What makes this petition so striking is that Agur goes on to pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. Father, do not give riches. Just as poverty, defined according to the Bible, does not mean a certain standard of living according to the world, the same is true with riches. To be rich, it's not just the case for the man who has a multi-million dollar business, who's able to build a brand new, beautiful house, who's able to fly away to warmer weather, on vacation every year. It's not riches only according to the Word of God. As the Word of God defines riches, riches is that a person has more than what they need to sustain earthly life and health. They have more than what they need for just this one day. As the Bible defines riches, man who has a week's worth of groceries in the pantry and in the refrigerator is rich. A person who has a warm, comfortable home, several different changes of clothing, little money stored away in the bank, the ability to go out to eat from time to time, to take a vacation from time to time, is a person who's wealthy, who has riches. We're taught to pray here, Father, do not give to us riches. Is that not a striking request? Which one of us, in honesty, can raise our hands and say, we pray that prayer regularly? How often do you and I pray this petition? Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Don't give me poverty. And Father, do not give me riches. Do we pray that? How infrequently, if at all, do we pray that? The attitude that we're tempted to have is the attitude of the world. The poor want to be rich, and the rich want to be richer. Many might pray, and perhaps not even in truth, Father, don't give me poverty. But how few and how infrequently do we pray, Father, do not give me riches. That's our prayer tonight on Prayer Day, which is to be our prayer throughout the whole of our earthly life. On the one hand, Father, do not give poverty. Supply me with the bread of my necessity. Give me my daily bread. Give me enough to sustain health and life for this one day. And, on the other hand, our prayer tonight is, Father, do not give to us riches. The prayer of the farmer on Prayer Day is not this. Father, give me a bumper crop. Father, give me the best year that a person could ever have. Cause me to be extremely wealthy with the abundance that comes from my fields of corn and beans. The prayer of the Christian working man tonight is not this. Father, prosper all of my investments so that I prosper tremendously. Give me an enormous pay raise in the year that is to come. Supply me with so many earthly things. Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Not only is the petition itself a striking request, but what underscores how striking that is the concern that underlies that request. What underlies that request for neither poverty nor riches is a spiritual concern. We're taught, according to the text here, why it is that we pray that God not give to us riches. The first part of verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? It's not the case that we pray that God not give to us riches, because riches somehow inherently are more unspiritual, so that the man who has much is less of a Christian and is more unspiritual than the man who's poor. That's not the case. There's nothing inherently wrong and sinful about riches. But what this Word of God teaches us is that having riches, we are placed before powerful spiritual temptations. The riches don't cause us to fall into temptation so that automatically the man who has riches falls into these sins, but these riches are the occasion. Having these riches, we are presented with powerful temptations. And the powerful temptation that we face when we're rich is that we forget about and deny God and our dependence upon Him. That's our text, obviously. Other passages of God's Word teach the same. Deuteronomy 8, "When thou hast eaten and art full, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." And a little bit later, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, "But they that will be rich," they that want to be rich, "fall into temptation and the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil." The great spiritual danger that we face with riches is that we forget about God. Who is the Lord? We don't need Him. We don't think about Him, and we don't depend upon Him from moment to moment. Who is the Lord? I provide for what I need. This arm of strength has gotten me all of these earthly things. In pride, we trust in ourselves. We trust in our own hard work ethic and our own business smarts and acumen to provide for us all of this wealth and success. Who is the Lord? We're tempted to forget about God and to forget about how we depend upon Him each day for our daily bread. Which shows the folly of chasing riches. Why would we chase with all of our heart and our being riches if having riches were faced with a powerful spiritual temptation to deny the Lord our God? How foolish that men and women ruin their health, ruin their marriages, ruin their families in the endless pursuit of money and of earthly things. Proverbs 23, verse 4, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom." Well, it may be the case that the Lord is pleased to give us riches in the way of our working to provide for us much, far beyond what we need for one day, but that is not what our focus is. That's not what we're working toward constantly. That's not the desire of our heart, and that's not our prayer and petition to the Lord. Rather, our prayer is, knowing ourselves, knowing our own weaknesses and sins, and how easily we fall into temptation, we pray, "Father, if it is thy will, do not give me riches. I know myself. I know how weak I am. I know how easily it will be for me when I have riches to fall into sin, to deny thee and to say, who is the Lord? Father, spare me. If it be thy will, do not give me riches. Feed me with the bread of my necessity." There's also a spiritual concern that underlines that aspect of the petition where we pray not for poverty. The end of verse 9, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now we said earlier, it's not so striking that we would pray, Father, don't give to us poverty. And yet, when we consider the concern that underlies that petition, it makes that aspect of the petition striking as well. Agur does not pray that part of the petition because he does not want to be burdened, and he doesn't want the trial and the hardship of being poor. That's not what underlies this petition. What underlies that part of the petition is a spiritual concern. The concern, spiritually, is that in the circumstances of poverty, we are also faced with powerful spiritual temptations. The temptation that we face when we're poor is, on the one hand, to steal. To take from our employer, to take from our family, to take from our neighbor. To lie, to cheat, to steal, to cut corners. To provide for what we stand in need of. On the other hand, the danger is that we blaspheme and profane the name of our God. The temptation for one who is poor is to be angry and to be bitter against God. God's the creator. God is the provider. And these are my circumstances. I'm lacking even the things that I need for this day. And the person who's poor becomes angry and bitter against God and questions the wisdom of his provision and his distribution of earthly things. Agur's concern with respect to poverty is essentially the same spiritual concern with respect to riches. In both, the concern is that earthly things become an idol. That when we have much, those earthly things become an idol, and we ourselves become an idol, and we don't trust daily upon the Lord. And when we're poor, that those earthly things become an idol, so that our sole focus is on things of the earth, getting and getting more of earthly things and seeking in earthly things happiness or comfort or security. It's that underlying spiritual concern. Brings Agur to his knees before God. Feed me with the bread of my necessity, not less than what I need and not more than what I need. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Prayer arises out of a holy and a right knowledge and understanding of self. Child of God here knows his own weakness and frailty. How prone I am in circumstances of riches to deny God and to say, "Who is the Lord?" And to know my own sinful nature, that in circumstances of poverty I'm going to be tempted to steal, to be bitter, and to blaspheme the name of God. What's most important to the child of God, and that comes out here, is not earthly things. What is most important, which is central to us, which is the priority in our lives, is our spiritual life, our relationship to our God and Father. Though the spiritual aspect of our being and the physical are distinct one from another, they are related to each other. If we do not have the things that we need for health and life for one day that may hinder our spiritual life, because our focus then becomes upon things and getting the things that we need. And having an abundance of earthly things, having riches and wealth, can also be a hindrance in our spiritual life, because there is all of the time and all of the energy spent in maintaining those earthly things that we have. When we have what we need, and only what we need for each day, the bread of our necessity, our life is preserved, we're strengthened with health according to the will of God, and we're able then to put aside a concern for earthly things and to have as our focus spiritual things of the kingdom of God. Earthly things are only important insofar as they strengthen us in this body to glorify God and to serve Him faithfully in our callings in this life. It's with that perspective and that attitude toward earthly things that we pray this petition to God tonight. This prayer teaches us what is to be the concern of the child of God, and what is to be the most important thing for us, and what is to be our attitude with respect to the things of this earth. With that spiritual concern, we pray, feed us with the bread of our necessity. Give us neither poverty nor riches. As children of God, we pray this petition wholehearted trust and dependence and confidence in our God and Father. The whole of this prayer breathes the spirit of childlike trust and dependence upon God. That comes out in verse 8. First of all, when it says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." We're praying to God here, "Father, give me neither poverty nor riches." And then especially what follows, "Feed me with food convenient for me." The figure there is of a little child, a newborn baby perhaps, with the mouth wide open, dependent upon and trusting in mother to provide for the little baby the bread of its necessity, the food that it stands in need of for that day. Such is our dependence upon our Heavenly Father. We are little children. And in childlike faith, with a mouth wide open, we cry, "Father, feed us." We're weak. We're frail. We don't have the means and the power in ourselves to preserve our life. Father, we're entirely dependent upon Thee. We need Thee for all of our spiritual life, Father. We need Thee for the whole of earthly life, for every breath and every moment of life and all of the things of this earthly life. Father, feed me. Trust and dependence upon our Father's provision for our earthly needs is grounded in who He is and what He's done for us. In verse 4, He's referred to by His name, Lord, or Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. And then at the end of verse 9, we pray, "Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." My God. God is my God because He's chosen me, because He's been pleased to establish His covenant with me, and because He's drawn me to Himself as his child. As the faithful, covenant-keeping God, he's not only established his covenant with us, but he faithfully preserves and maintains that so that that covenant relationship cannot be broken. He faithfully preserves us and faithfully provides for what we stand in need of as our God and our Father. We have the absolute confidence of that because he's provided us what is most important. He, in his love for us, has provided his own Son, who in himself, being infinitely rich, made himself poor with the poverty of our sin and guilt, and who in becoming poor, especially at the cross, merited for us and blesses us with riches, fabulous, wonderful, infinite riches, the blessings of salvation which we enjoy now and the hope of the heavenly inheritance with God forever. If our God and Father has provided his Son to save us, will he not then provide for us all of the lesser things that we stand in need of? That's Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he's given his Son, will he not provide for us all the other things that we stand in need of? For Christ's sake, we have confidence. Confidence that our God, Jehovah, will faithfully hear and answer and provide for us our needs. Our trust and confidence is not that God will never give to us poverty or riches. It may well be the case, in the wise counsel and providence of God, that he's pleased to send us down into the depths of poverty or to bestow upon us riches to care for and to be stewards of. And that's understood in those words in verse 8. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me the bread of my necessity. Not in the end what I think is necessary, but what God has ordained is necessary for me. This petition, as with all of our petitions, is prayed in the understanding, thy will be done. Give me neither poverty nor riches, if it be thy will, Father. It may be the will of our Father to send us riches or to send us poverty, which he has determined is what we need. He's determined that that's what we need spiritually. That the circumstances of riches or the circumstances of poverty will be worked for our spiritual profit, for our sanctification in this life. And our prayer then is not only, Father, according to thy will, give me neither poverty nor riches, but also this then, Father, if it is thy will to give poverty or riches, give me the grace to bear up under those things. Give me the grace in the circumstances of riches never to forget about thee and to deny thee and to say, who is the Lord? And if it's thy will to give me poverty, give me the grace not to steal or to blaspheme thy name. Our confidence is not that God will never send us poverty or riches, but our confidence is in him. He will hear and answer and provide for us that which we truly stand in need of and which is good for us spiritually. Our desire, knowing our own weaknesses and sins, is, Father, if it be thy will, not poverty and not riches. Feed me with the bread of my necessity. And for Christ's sake, you will hear and answer and provide for us from day to day that which we truly stand in need of. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our prayer tonight is this prayer. Give to us neither poverty nor riches, if it be thy will. Feed us with food convenient. Keep us, Father, when we are rich, as so many are, from forgetting about thee, denying thee, trusting in ourselves. And we pray, Father, in circumstances of poverty, give us the grace never to steal, never to take thy name in vain, and to make an idol of the things of this earth. We need thee, Father. We depend upon thee for all things at all times. Supply to us our needs. Strengthen us in this life, so that with body and soul we praise and glorify thee. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.